Welcome to Zikudafsi Mani Mamra Vayram Golder and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, the ninth Perek Misha Meis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was stated, if one says, Kene Kechamor, acquire my possessions like the donkey, he acquires nothing just like the donkey. If he said, At Kechamor, you and the donkey should acquire my possessions, Rav Nachman says, Kanamechza, he acquires half because we interpret a statement to mean that he and the donkey should each receive half his property. Although the donkey cannot acquire, the person acquires his half. Rav Avnuna says he acquires nothing because the joint gift was given together. Since the donkey's gift is void, the person's cannot be valid. Rav Shesha says he acquires everything because the benefactor knows the donkey cannot acquire and intends that the entire gift should go to whoever can acquire. Rav Shesha sources his opinion in a brayse which teaches that truma taken from a fruit which has sweet and bitter sections on other such fruit is valid despite the fact that the bitter section cannot be taken as truma against the sweet section of another fruit. The Gemara answers that even bitter produce taken as truma on sweet produce is biblically valid. Point number two, a man once told his wife, Nechasai lich uvenaich, my possessions shall belong to you and to your sons. Rav Yosef says, Kansa mechsa, she acquires half, not just an equal share. He brought a source from Rebbe who taught that when the Pasuk says regarding the Lechem Apanim, V'aysa l'Aaron u'Levanav, and it will be for Aaron and his sons, it means Mechsa l'Aaron u'Mechsa l'Levanav, half is for Aaron and half is for his sons to divide among themselves. This proves that when one person is mentioned as a recipient alongside a group, he receives half. Abai objects that in that case, Aaron bar Chalukahu, Aaron was eligible for a share of the Lechem Apanim without being mentioned. Since the Torah specified him unnecessarily, it must be to award him half. But in our case, where the wife was not eligible to receive anything without specific mentions, since she's not an heir, Dai Shetitel Ke'echad Min Abadim, it should be sufficient for her to take a portion like one of the sons and not half. This case, Mechsa, is one of three places where the halacha follows Rav Yosef. And point number three, the next Mishnah states that if one died and left adult and minor sons, Ishpichu Gedolim es Nechasim, and the adults improved the estate before it was divided, Ishpichu Emsa, they have improved equally for everyone. If they said, Ra'u Mashe Niach Abba, see what our father has left us, Hari Anu Osim Va'ochlim, we will work and eat for ourselves, meaning they were prepared to divide the estate and make improvements in their own portion, but Basin did not do so, Ishpichu Atzman, then they improved for themselves. The same is taught regarding an Almanu who has a share in the estate. Rav was quoted as saying that the improvements are shared equally only Sheshavchu Nechasim Machmas Nechasim, where the estate improved through the estate itself, meaning the adults neither worked nor spent their own funds, but hired workers with the estate's funds. About Shavchu Nechasim Machmas Atzman, but where the estate improved through their own efforts or funds, Ishpichu Atzman, they improved for themselves. The Gemara clarifies that if the Ketanim were capable of making the improvements, such as guarding a cistern, the improvements are shared. So once again, the three points are, number one, it was stated, if one says, Kene Kechamor, acquire my possessions like the donkey, he acquires nothing just like the donkey. If he said, At Kechamor, you and the donkey should acquire my possessions, Rav Nachman says, Kanamechza, he acquires half because we interpret a statement to mean that he and the donkey should each receive half his property. Although the donkey cannot acquire, the person acquires his half. Rav Avnuna says he acquires nothing because the joint gift was given together. Since the donkey's gift is void, the person's cannot be valid. Rav Shesha says he acquires everything because the benefactor knows the donkey cannot acquire and intends that the entire gift should go to whoever can acquire. Rav Shesha sources his opinion in a brayse which teaches that truma taken from a fruit which has sweet and bitter sections on other such fruit is valid despite the fact that the bitter section cannot be taken as truma against the sweet section of another fruit. The Gemara answers that even bitter produce taken as truma on sweet produce is biblically valid. Point number two, a man once told his wife, Nechasai lich uvenaich, my possessions shall belong to you and to your sons. Rav Yosef says, Kansa mechsa, she acquires half, not just an equal share. He brought a source from Rebbe who taught that when the Pasuk says regarding the Lechem Apanim, V'aysa l'Aaron u'Levanav, and it will be for Aaron and his sons, it means Mechsa l'Aaron u'Mechsa l'Levanav, half is for Aaron and half is for his sons to divide among themselves. This proves that when one person is mentioned as a recipient alongside a group, he receives half. Abai objects that in that case, Aaron bar Chalukahu, Aaron was eligible for a share of the Lechem Apanim without being mentioned. Since the Torah specified him unnecessarily, it must be to award him half. But in our case, where the wife was not eligible to receive anything without specific mentions, since she's not an heir, Dai Shetitel Ke'echad Min Abadim, it should be sufficient for her to take a portion like one of the sons and not half. This case, Mechsa, is one of three places where the halacha follows Rav Yosef. And point number three, the next mishnah states that if one died and left adult and minor sons, ishpichu gedolim es nechasim, and the adults improved the estate before it was divided, ishpichu emsa, they have improved equally for everyone. If they said, ra'u mashe niach abba, see what our father has left us, hari anu osim va'ochim, we will work and eat for ourselves, meaning they were prepared to divide the estate and make improvements in their own portion, but Beis Din did not do so, ishpichu atzman, then they improved for themselves. The same is taught regarding an alman who has a share in the estate. Rav was quoted as saying that the improvements are shared equally only sheshavchu nechasim machmas nechasim, where the estate improved through the estate itself, meaning the adults neither worked nor spent their own funds, but hired workers with the estate's funds. About shavchu nechasim machmas atzman, but where the estate improved through their own efforts or funds, ishbichu atzman, they improved for themselves. The Gemara clarifies that if the katanim were capable of making the improvements, such as guarding a cistern, the improvements are shared. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Mem Gimel, and this Siman was suggested to us by Yeshua Shmuel Eisenberg, as well as by Nathaniel Yankel from Clifton, New Jersey. They both suggested that Kuf Mem Gimel is a Krav Maga master. Krav Maga is an Israeli form of self-defense. So here goes. While the Krav Maga champion was busy gifting his trophy to his coach and the chamor, and his prize money to his wife and his sons, of which she gets half, and they get half, his brothers were busy improving the land they inherited, which will be divided equally among them all. Once again, slow motion. While the Krav Maga champion, Krav Maga, that must be on Daf Kuf Mem Gimel. While the Krav Maga champion was busy gifting his trophy to his coach and a chamor, which reminds us, it was stated if one says kne kachamor, acquire my possessions like the donkey, he acquires nothing just like the donkey. If he said at vechamor, you and the donkey should acquire my possessions, we have a three-way machlokas whether he acquires half, nothing, or everything. So while the Krav Maga champion was busy gifting his trophy to his coach and a chamor, and his prize money to his wife and his sons, of which she gets half, and they get half, which reminds us, a man once told his wife, my possessions shall belong to you and to your sons. Rav Yosef says, Kansa Mechsa, she acquires half, not just an equal share. He brought a source from Rebbe who taught that when the Pasuk says, regarding the Lechem Apanim, V'haisa la'arun u'levanav, and it will be for Aaron and his sons, it means, Mechsa la'arun, Mechsa levanav, half is for Aaron and half is for his sons, to divide among themselves. This proves that when one person is mentioned as a recipient, alongside a group, he receives half. Abai objects, but the halacha follows Rav Yosef, and this is one of the three cases where the halacha follows him. So while the Krav Maga champion was busy gifting his trophy to his coach, and a chamor, and his prize money to his wife and his sons, of which she gets half, and they get half. His brothers were busy improving the land they inherited, which will be divided equally among them all. Which reminds us, the next mishnah states that if one died and left adult and minor sons, ishpichu gedolim es nechasim, and the adults improved the estate before it was divided, ishpichu la'emsa, they have improved equally for everyone. If they said, ro masha hiniach abba, see what our father has left us, we'll work and eat for ourselves, meaning they were prepared to divide the estate and make improvements in their own portion, but Beis Din did not do so, ishpichu atzman, then they improved for themselves. Once again, while the Krav Maga champion was busy gifting his trophy to his coach, and a chamor, and his prize money to his wife and his sons, of which she gets half, and they get half. His brothers were busy improving the land they inherited, which will be divided equally among them all. All right, so now it's time for four Balabah Chazara. Daf Kuf Lamates. So the simmer Daf Kuf Lamates is a blood clot. So here goes. The cardiologist told the man with a blood clot, blood clot, that must be on Daf Kuf Lamates. The cardiologist told the man with a blood clot who just made a wedding that if he doesn't take care of himself, the younger son would have to make their wedding from his estate, which reminds us, the next mishnah states, Hiniach banim gedoim ukatanim. If the father left older and younger sons, the older sons are not supported with clothing from the undivided estate, and the younger sons are not fed from the estate, since either would disproportionately deplete the estate. Instead, they divide it equally. If the older sons married and funded the expenses from the estate, the younger ones may also marry using money from the estate. If the younger sons say, we'll marry the same way you married, we don't listen to them. Rather, whatever the father gave the older son to marry, he gave, and the younger sons are not entitled to receive the same. The Gemara clarifies that this latter case was when the older brothers received the monies when the father was still alive, and therefore the monies were considered a gift. So the cardiologist told the man with a blood clot who just made a wedding that if he doesn't take care of himself, his younger sons would have to make their wedding from his estate, while the newlywed would be fine because he's a yorish and a lokeach in his wife's possessions, which reminds us, Rava was asked, if a woman borrowed money without a shtar and used it, and she got married so her husband took possession of her assets, ba'al lokeach have a yorish have, is a husband considered a buyer or an heir of these assets? A milval pet, an oral loan, cannot be collected from those who purchased property from the borrower, but it is collected from an heir. Rav Ashi concludes that the rabbis treat the husband as either a Yorish or a Lokeach, Beheka Detavale Avdile, and whichever was better for him, they considered him. So the cardiologist told the man with a blood clot, who just made a wedding, that if he doesn't take care of himself, his younger sons would have to make their wedding from his estate, while the newlywed would be fine because he's a Yorish and a Lokeach in his wife's possessions, told his father that the other boys would end up begging for food while they support their sisters. Which reminds us, the ninth parak begins, Misha meis v'niach banim ubanos. If one died and left behind sons and daughters, bezman shenachasim urubim, where the property is abundant, the sons inherited and the daughters are supported from it. Nechasim u'atim, but if the property is inadequate, the daughters are supported and the sons go begging at the doors. Admon objects, because I'm a male, I lose, rather. They're supported together until the estate runs out. Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees with Admon. Daf Kuf Mem, so the simmer Daf Kuf Mem is a camera. So here goes. The photographer who uses camera, that must be more Daf Kuf Mem. The photographer who uses camera to catch a shot of sons jumping for joy when their assets increase in value while their sisters look sad, which reminds us, Gemara says, Pshita merubin v'nisma'atu. It's obvious that if there were initially many assets and they became inadequate because food increased in price or the assets lost value, the heirs already acquired their share in the estate and the daughters cannot collect support from it. The Gemara asks, Mu'atim nisrabumai, if there were initially inadequate assets and they increase in value, what is the halacha? Bershus Yorshin Kaimi? Do we say the assets stand in the possession of the heirs, meaning the sons, until the daughters actually collect their support? Hilkach Bershus Yorshin Shabuach, therefore they improved in value in the heirs' possession, and the daughters cannot collect from the additional value. Or perhaps the heirs are removed from the properties earmarked for the daughter's support and do not own the increased value. The Gemara concludes they remain in the heirs' possession. So the photographer who uses camera to catch a shot of sons jumping for joy when their assets increase in value while their sisters look sad was able to capture the almana who reduced the property's value, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmi as Rabbi Avo, does an almana reduce the property's value? Meaning, is his almana's right to support subtracted from the property's value in determining whether there are nechas merubin? Or do we say, since if she would marry, she has no more claim to support, it's not calculated into the estate's value since it's not fixed? The Gemara continues with additional questions that are left unresolved. So the photographer who uses camera to catch a shot of sons jumping for joy when their assets increase in value while their sisters look sad was able to capture the almana who reduced the property's value, trying to comfort her child, the tumtum, who got pushed away by his brothers and sisters, which reminds us that tumtum can be pushed away by sons from their rights and by daughters from their rights for support. Daf Kuf Mem Av, so the simmer Daf Kuf Mem Av is a first place winner because Kama in Aramaic is first, like Tana Kama. So here goes. The husband running a first place in the family contest. First place contest, that must be more on Duff. Kuf Mem Off, first place winner. The husband running a first place in the family contest who promised $100 of prize money to his future firstborn child if it's a boy and $200 if it's a girl. Which reminds us, the previous mission discussed one who says he'll give his future child 100 zuz if it's a boy and 200 if it's a girl. This implies that bas adifalei maben, that a daughter is preferable to him over a son, which is why he would give more to a daughter. And the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan said that whoever does not leave behind a son to inherit him, Hashem is malei lav evra, filled with anger against him. The Gemara answers, le'inyan yerusha ben adifalei, regarding inheritance, the son is preferred by him because the estate remains with his family. Le'inyan harvacha bito adifalei, regarding generous provision, a daughter is preferred by him, meaning one is likely to give more generously to his daughters who cannot provide for themselves as easily. So the husband running a first place in the family contest, who promised $100 of prize money to his future firstborn child, if it's a boy, and $200 if it's a girl, hoped that it would be a girl since bas tchila siman yafel abanim, which reminds us, in the Gemara's second answer, Shmuel said our mission is discussing a mevakeres, a woman giving birth for the first time. Here a father prefers that the child should be a girl because Rav Chisda said bas tchila siman yafel abanim, a daughter first is a good sign for sons. This is explained in two ways. Some say because she raises her younger brothers, and some say doshata ba'in abisha, because the evil eye will not have power over him since he did not have a son first. So the husband running a first place in the family contest, who promised $100 of prize money to his future firstborn child if it's a boy, and $200 if it's a girl, hoped that it would be a girl since bas tchila simin yafel abanim, and patiently waited to give the money after birth since hamazakul uber lokana, which reminds us, a man once gifted his property to the future child of his pregnant wife. Rav Huna ruled that this is a case of transferring possessions to a fetus. Hamazakul uber lokana, and one who transfers possessions to a fetus, the fetus does not acquire them. Daf Kuf Mem Beis. So the simmer Daf Kuf Mem Beis is a comb. So here goes. The man who had to return the dead convert's comb collection, that must be on Daf Kufman Bays. The man who had to return the dead convert's comb collection when he heard the Ger's wife was pregnant, who subsequently miscarried, which reminds us, Rav Sheshet says that an Uber can acquire property and quotes a Brisa as his source. Ger Shemes Ubizbuz Yisrael Nechosov. If a convert died and Jews acquired his possessions, and they heard he has a son or a pregnant wife, they're obligated to return the property since it was in Hefker. If they returned it and heard that the son died or his wife miscarried, then the one who acquired the second time after the child's death acquires, but the first kinyan is ineffective. So the man who had to return the dead convert's comb collection when he heard the Ger's wife was pregnant, who subsequently miscarried, informed the woman that a bechor born after the father's death does not take pishnai, which reminds us, Rav Sheshet was challenged from a Mishnah, Tinok ben yom echad, nochel umanchil, a one-day-old baby inherits and bequeaths, which implies that an uber does not inherit, and certainly cannot acquire gifts. After the Gemara explains how Rav Sheshet interpreted the Mishnah, it quotes two versions of how Rav explained it. The first one being that the Mishnah means that a baby is mamayit bechelk bechorah. He reduces the firstborn's extra share because the brothers inherit from him, not the father. This does not apply to an uber because the pasuk says v'yaldelo, and they bear to him, requiring that the child was born during the father's lifetime. So the man who had to return the dead convert's comb collection when he heard the Ger's wife was pregnant, who subsequently miscarried, informed the woman that a bechor born after the father's death does not take pishnaim. While his son from his first marriage looked all dejected after being told by his father, go acquire shelik, one of the sons I'll have from my second wife, which reminds us, a man told his wife, my possessions are given to the future children I have from you. His older son from another wife protested that nothing would be left for him, and the father responded, go acquire shelik, one of the sons I'll have from my second wife. The gift of the future children is not effective because they didn't exist then. And although Rabbi Yochanan concluded that one can gift his own Uber, this man's wife was not yet pregnant. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn if a man says to his wife, my possessions shall belong to you and your sons, she gets half and the sons get half? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Gimel. Good. Number two, which stuff do we learn Rav Chissa said, bas tchila simon yafila banim? That's on Daf. Kuf Memov. Good. Number three, which stuff of a question of a widow's right to support subtracts from the property's value in determining whether they are Nachasi Merubin? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem. Good. Number four, which stuff do you discuss what the din is when adult sons improve the estate before they and the minor sons divided it? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Gimel. Good. Number five, which stuff do you learn laws of Bechor do not apply to an Uber? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Beis. Good. Number six, which stuff do you have a case of Matana Almanas Lachzir, where the recipient was Makdish the gift and then returned it? That's on Daf. Kuf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we have people acquiring a deceased Ger's property but then heard his wife was pregnant and then she miscarried? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Beis. Good. Number eight, which stuff do you discuss what the din is if there were initially inadequate assets in an estate and they increase in value, whether the assets are in the possession of the heirs? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem. Good. Number nine, which stuff to discuss what the din is in a case of one who says, At v'chamor should acquire my possessions? That's on Daf. Kuf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 10, which stuff to discuss if Adim can record a Shchimei Ra's claim without knowing its veracity, or do we say, Choshesh lebeis and towing? That's on Daf. Kuf Lamed Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu Vashinya. Great day and great learning.